Yeah, but I think
but you just said you need exit liquidity. So who are you selling to that you're not scamming?
She's not the one
I'm
selling.
Using that as a figure of speech.
A figure of speech, man. What are you talking about? Like, listen carefully. Like, what? She's shitting on that industry as being grifty.
I'm shitting on the grifters.
Anyway, yeah, like the vaporware is one thing. Yeah, is there a token needed? That's another thing. And to Zin's point, this is true. Like, if you could go play Call of Duty, you just play Call of Duty. If you can go play Fallout, you just play it. Why would you need to play the crypto version or some shit of it? Like, you know, except to say that, like, oh, it has crypto attached and therefore it has some different whatever. And the reality is, like, it's really, really hard in the gaming industry to make money on a good game because it's so much investment to make a game these days. And, like, literally games have bigger budgets than Hollywood movies now, right? Like, so it takes serious money to make a Class A game. And after all of that shit, it's like you're going to have to figure out how to attach some crypto thing to it. I don't know. It's like it's just not clear that it can be done well. I haven't seen it done, executed well. And like Steam and a lot of other companies have basically ignored this. There's another problem, too, about gaming, by the way. And I don't know if Zin, if you knew this, but like back in the days, like of RuneScape and EverQuest and stuff, like when we were in this stuff really early, what would happen is, and by the way, this is how like some of these principles is how like Hal Finney and others in Bitcoin like came up with some of the ideas for Bitcoin, by the way. Speaking of Aaron, I've been around a long time, like before all these things were like, so I had world record sales of EverQuest gold and like EverQuest item sales back in the day, back in the late 90s on eBay and stuff before it was all banned. But what was interesting back then was people were using games to like exploit people. So they would have like children in the, you know, in Southeast Asia and shit mining EverQuest gold. They would have like prisoners in Chinese prison mining RuneQuest gold. And that they would go and then sell this shit on eBay, and they would like, whoever was exploiting those people would make money doing it. I mean, you know, of course, if the kids had fun, whatever. But the point is, like, interestingly, part of the reason why the gaming industry has not gone into the crypto space is because it's very easy to exploit sort of like child labor laws and all sorts of other like weird loopholes that happen. And this is the other thing that has happened. And so I think that industry is not that interested in having to deal with regulatory agencies across the planet when it comes to like issuing what essentially is types of money or fungible assets within these ecosystems.
I've heard of that, but in the opposite, it's so hard to know what's going on because everyone is shilling something. It's so fucking cringe. I hate this community so fucking much. But you know, Axie Infinity? That's uh-huh. Like the one positive as far as like morality goes that I've heard, but I could see what you're saying is but like
even that,
that people said that Axie Infinity was giving, I think that's the name of it.
Even that got gamed people. Though. It was funny.
Axie got gamed to shit though. Like
yeah. It ended up it was really funny. It ended up like they were running the same kind of rings. Like it worked at first. But then it got monopolized just like anything else. So it was like
right.
Like an but old what, dude with like 20 kids in a room paying them a fraction of what they should be getting to play it but instead what, of like how it started, which was like, you know, everyone getting rich together.
Right. They said, but that was coined as like a moral good because it was giving people a lot of money in areas where the currency,
yeah.
Their currency is. Yeah, whatever.
It was basically taking it from like rich Westerners and it was giving it to them. It was kind of funny.
Yeah, there was definitely some winners in that, but the play to earn does not work because if you have, well, first of all, to play to earn, you'd have to have someone putting money into the ecosystem to make it work. So someone has to pump the token. And when the token value drops, the ecosystem no longer works. The entire Ponzi falls apart. So you're basically paying people to play. You're not playing to earn. Really, it's like the only game that can work long term is work to earn, meaning like you're literally doing a job and the work you're doing in the game somehow enhances the game. So, for example, imagine a role playing game where
Seth, you just summarized proof of work and proof of stake quite nicely.
Yep. That's exactly why I say like the Bitcoin original thesis is it's that, you know, proof of work. you have verifiable proof of work, and that's really all it is. And you can replace that with human actors. It doesn't have to be a Bitcoin miner hashing. Like we were mining EverQuest gold long before Bitcoin came out, right? So, or RuneScape gold even before that, and Ultima Online gold even before that. So proof of work, like in mining, was happening in gaming in the 90s, well before like crypto came along. And what was interesting there is that, like, as long as a human has to do it, or even if you had to use a computer to do it, you could bot it also, by the way. You didn't have to have a human sitting there. Like, you had people also running three computers simultaneously and like mining more gold or whatever. All of that stuff is fine. And that was what was distilled into the proof of work system of BTC at the end of the day. And a lot of those folks were gamers, like Hal was a gamer and a lot of other people.
A lot of those people are doing AI now, and you're starting to see this structure. Like, this is how they're going to have these like learning models. They're going to have to incentivize it. So that's what like Bostrom and Tao are going to do, or I guess Tao might already be doing it. But
I knew Phil was going to bring it. Phil's going to inject Bostrom into the conversation.
Hey, he said it. He brought it up.
Listen, I still have to sit there for like 2-3 hours and figure it all out. But I bought some tokens blindly because, hey, AI,
and it's up a lot.
Oh yeah. I can't complain. I like I messaged them and they said join our Telegram, but come up with some really creative questions. My question was gonna be what were you thinking when you made this website?
But the thing is, like, and you know, BTC is interesting, but I look at just the crypto space as the same as any other space ever. And that is that, like, the bottom line is the entire space is a gigantic computing space, and it's about and many of the models in crypto are software as a service type models. So when people start talking about like what you use Bitcoin for at this point, which is kind of more of a consensus store of value, there are also other consensus store of values out there as well that are pretty good. Like, you know, Litecoin's not bad. The distribution is not bad. The mining works fine. But the difference is that BTC has the mine share, so you get the highest price appreciation. But it's not like it's the only thing that does what it does. A lot of things are secure networks now. It's not even a big deal anymore. But at the same time, like, there are other things you can do with cryptography that have nothing to do with store of value. And the same way you can do a lot of things with computers that, you know, are not exactly doing calculations, right? Like, yes, it can calculate things, but you can extract that and abstract that to a lot of different things. And so crypto generally is truly working to change the entire global financial system at this point. Like, Chainlink's a great example of that. But there's like lots of other examples where the end goal is not just like pure grift and fucking around. Like, there is something to all of this. And cryptography is not only, its only purpose is not store of value. Tokenization of things results in dramatic efficiencies that are not present in the current sort of like financial order. I would say, like, if you look at banking, if you look at stocks and things, there's a lot of like, you know, 2-day remittance times and other things. So there's all sorts of cool like problems to be solved on like a general level. And then there's like, even in gaming, I do think there is a role. Like, I think there's going to be some amazing things that get built at one point. I'll know it when I see it, by the way. Like, I'll be like, okay, that's fucking awesome. Like, I'll know it, I don't know what it is exactly yet. Like, it's on the horizon somewhere, but I'll know when I see it. And I think when you see that, like, a game like takes advantage of cryptocurrency specifically in a way that no one ever has before, you'll know what that looks like, because it'll be so compelling and so interesting to play. Like, for example, like, you know, every medium, whether it's art or whatever, every medium has its sort of like endpoint in a sense. You know, like, whether it's color on canvas or whether it's like, you know, electronic music came out, you know, and you had like keyboard, and then it went to computers and whatever. And crypto is going to find its like niches where, like, you can't do this thing without that. Like, it's not possible, or maybe the game is unique to that. So like, it doesn't make sense, for example, it doesn't matter if you play chess on a computer versus if you play chess on a chessboard, the game is about the same, right? So computerizing it, the only way it changed was adding AI to the mix. And of course that changed, like, you know, the opponents and stuff. But with crypto games, like, the cryptography portion has to do something really interesting for the game, I think. And so far, I haven't seen that happen yet. I don't know if any of the, there's a ton of games though, like that are people are shilling, but I'm with Zinn. I'm like, I saw that one that was like the shooter for Solana, and I'm like, that's interesting. I could see how like the token price might pump if people play this game and whatever. Okay, fine. Maybe it might be a fun token to own just for the pump and dump, but is it going to actually like be a fun game to play relative to all the other shooters out there? That's a hard one. Like maybe, I don't know.
I don't have a problem with like VR chat type games, like where people can play as their NFT profile picture, whatever. I guess it's good for the ecosystem among like traders. I just don't like when people are trying to shill something like, this is a great game. Like, no, it's not. You're just fucking gambling. You're just grifting more. Like, I think... surely there's tons of uses or like play types of games that could be useful, but I'm playing a game right now, so I'm scattered. The push to have things that we don't fucking need is so cringe. It needs to stop.
I don't think it will stop. It hasn't stopped the last 30 years of my life. I don't know. It'll keep going.
People need to get fucking jobs. Like, people need to fucking get jobs. Stop being lazy.
To make money.
Get lucky on some fucking shit.
Yeah, you're not listening.
And get a fucking job.
Yeah, the only reason they need a job is to get money and buy all the stuff you're saying they shouldn't want.
What?
The game of life.
Never mind. They wouldn't need a job if they didn't need money to buy stuff they want, like you were saying they shouldn't do.
I'm saying people. I'm saying the issue is that there's so many people that are so fucking lazy and want to get rich off of some meme coin that's adding nothing to the economy. Like, we've got a bunch of fucking leeches. Like,
go serve some burgers to people.
Society's been working for this long, barely, because we don't have that. That's how economics work. You put something into the machine, you get something out of it. Not every single person here can just skip out on work and get rich on a fucking meme coin.
But here's the thing. Here's the funny thing. Like, the meme coins actually, in my view, are the purest form of this. Because like, if you say like games are worth something and money is a game anyway, life is sort of a game. Like, there's something about the purity of meme coins that there's no actual grift. It's like, it's literally just a meme coin, and you know exactly what you're buying and why you're buying it for. And the difference is, the problem with the vaporware video games is, you think it's going to be some amazing game that you're, you know, buying a coin for, and your coins and shit are going to be worth more because people are going to want them in the game or whatever. That's a deeper grift. Whereas a meme coin, it's like, it's just more purist. It's like, I know I'm in a game. And it's a high-low game, and if I buy low and sell high, I win. If I don't, I lose. It's that simple.
I completely disagree. I think that...
Well, but how is it different from roulette then?
I think it's the purest... But. It's the purest grift. I'm like on the opposite. You're buying and selling nothing. And the people that come in... People are stupid. Like,
but like going against human nature doesn't make sense either, because humans are going to do this. They've done it for all time, right?
Sethi, it's like baseball cards, where only people that care about baseball cards think baseball cards are valuable. And then the agreement, disagreement becomes which ones of these baseball cards are worth X and which ones are not worth X. With crypto, it's only people that like meme coins are going to engage in this game. It's a game of chicken, right? It's like, how long can I hold this before I could sell? Because you're trying to optimize that, like, that sell point, whether you know it or not. That's what you're trying to do when you engage in these meme coins. I think it's definitely human nature.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, it's a pure expression of human nature, and
cuts out all the bullshit apps that people are pretending to build.
Because here's the thing, like, let's say you were to get rid of, like, I don't know, poker in casinos, and you're to get rid of roulette tables and, you know, stupid, like, what do you call it, like the slot machines. Like, people gamble. They've always done so since sentience sort of emerged. As far as human history goes back, like, we people have gambled. So, like, the idea that that's going to be gotten rid of, to me, is, like, that's probably unrealistic. To me, it's, like, the thing about meme coins is, nobody's, like, thinking that, like, Pepe coin is going to be the new money of the planet or something, right? Like, nobody thinks that, like,
someone is thinking that.
Or someone's thinking
there
that.
There are many people thinking that, Seffy.
Pepe is going to be the new money of, like, Pepe's the new Bitcoin. So, or Pepe. But, you know, the funny thing is, Bitcoin was just considered the same joke, too, by the way. Most of my life that I've been shilling Bitcoin, I was called a scammer.
That's
now
exactly
it's like, oh, my God, it's like the legit coin or whatever. Get the fuck out of here. I was called a scammer for so many years.
Like 6 months ago, you were still a scammer.
No, I mean, now, like, it's one thing. But back then, it was like, oh, what are you doing? You're buying drugs with your Bitcoin. What are you, like, you know, like, yeah. I mean, all of the news was bad and everything was a scam back then until it wasn't. So it's interesting how these things play out. Like, the power of memes and such is an interesting human, I think, sociology experiment of sorts. And I think when you put money into the equation, you put emotions into the equation, you put the grift into the equation, the like the advertising, I mean, think about this, guys. Like, just generally speaking, advertising is a grift. Like, I mean, you're trying to get the think about how many clothing brands are sold for 5x what they're actually worth in, like, or 10x or 100x what they're actually worth in fabric or whatever. Like, come on, like, you're just basically trying to get more money out of it by adding a style thing to it or whatever. But the reality is, like, it's whatever someone's willing to pay for it at that point. So there's that kind of, like,
right. Beauty, it's almost like Web3 takes everything bad about our system and it makes it 100 times worse. I agree.
Or just, it's just the purest form of it. It can't get any purer, you could argue. So how could you make it any worse than that?
I'm saying, and this doesn't apply to you, because you do see it as a game. You do treat it as a game. And I do too. I don't have any issue with that. The issue that I have is you have hundreds of thousands of people that want to get rich by adding nothing, by doing nothing, by giving nothing.
Yeah, they should be content producers and help society.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Kind of reminds me of OnlyFans, huh?
That's not...
Hey, at least they're helping people.
People, sex work is a market, and you are buying.
Well, so are memes, right? It's just the expression of humor is all it is.
If there weren't tons of fucking men that were buying, and women that were buying for the sex work stuff, it wouldn't exist. Like,
it's same as memes. If nobody was, like, buying memes, then they would not exist.
I could buy Dogecoin, or I could go find a whore.
Actually, maybe that's the counter argument. Like, this is helping because there are a lot of guys so addicted to crypto, they're not out enabling sex workers.
It's pretty funny shit. Like, either way.
Crypto is helping everyone. No, I think memes are funny. Meme coins are funny. It's like, who, you basically have five letters and let's see how much attention you can get from the world with those five letters and, like, jokes. And that's it.
For sure, though, like, to the Zin's point, like, for sure, crypto and the volatility fuels a ton of gambling addicts to run to crypto.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Like, for sure. Like, it's like, because, like, how could it not? The volatility is too sexy.
No, my point is that this community is turned into a net negative for society. It's what's his name? Emmanuel. What's his fucking name?
You're like Charlie Munger.
Utilitarianism guy. He would
Emmanuel Kant.
Lose his fucking mind if he saw. Yeah. He would lose his mind if he saw Web3.
I think the argument would be that this is art, and you can't sit there and call an artist a piece of shit and say they don't contribute to society just because you don't understand their art, and people will pay millions of dollars for their stupid art that you don't understand.
It's gambling. What are you talking about?
How's Web3 worse than Web2? Web2 is literally just... People.
At least we get some of the money here.
Let me tell you what Web2 required: all these different devices, so people could take pictures of themselves and send them to people that they just saw 5 minutes ago. And then Web1 was just porn. It was like all of Web1 was literally porn.
There was a period of time, Joe, when like 60 to 70% of the internet was all porn.
I remember that. And but like the what's ironic about that is 99% of the internet connections were dial up, so you couldn't really enjoy any of it.
You're like, oh, dude, the nipple's loading. Come here, guys.
You're better off. You're better off scrambling the watching scrambled the Spice Channel when you didn't even have cable.
Web3 you just have to plan it out. Be like, all right, I'm going to start this video loading, and then I'll come back in 45 minutes and I'll play it.
Now, Joe, if your friend would have paid for the upgraded subscription, you would have gotten both nipples.
I'll confess something. I'll confess something on this space, even though it's recorded. When I was 11, 12 years old, my best friend, I used to sleep over his house, and his mother was a lesbian, and her girlfriend lived in the house, and they had the Spice Channel, and that's when I used to watch it, when I have sleepovers.
No wonder that was your best friend.
And that's not a lie. It was my best friend in like 5th, 6th, 7th grade.
He probably had a lot of best friends, huh?
Not like that. Not with that great cable package.
It's like, yeah, like Skinamax or whatever.
But anyway, I'm not defending Web3. I'm just saying it's not worse than Web2.
I can't see a world where Web3 is not worse than Web2 when I'm
like
talking
Etsy, about... Like Etsy, dude, come on. Like Etsy is better. About, like, no, you have to like get some wire and seashells.
Let me finish my sentence. When I'm talking about it being a strain on the economy, unless I'm open to being wrong always, but it seems like crypto and Web3 as a whole has kind of normalized this idea that you're not doing anything wrong and you're not a piece of shit loser if you're trying to get rich off of doing nothing. Like, I don't remember, I don't know how old you guys are, so maybe it was always like this, but
it was a whole lot worse.
I'm almost 40, I don't remember being around people or hearing people talk about getting rich off of something that you're not doing anything for.
But what's wrong with working smarter instead of working harder? I don't understand the problem that you have with it.
It's a problem when everyone is trying to do that.
We're like a tiny percentage of the world.
Yeah, no. It's less than 1% of the planet.
You sound like America.
On cryptocurrency right now.
I think you're underestimating how few people are actually doing this, to be honest.
And I think you're putting down people who are supplying liquidity to capital markets. And I think that that's very hurtful because there's demand and we are producing the supply, and that is a service.
Yeah, when I get rugged, I'm helping someone else have a good time that day. You know?
I never thought that I would be in a space where someone was getting accused of doing nothing and getting rich, and it wasn't like a founder of a project. It was like the customers that have been getting ripped off for years. But I got to say, I definitely understand her angle because it does look pretty fucking lazy.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. Duffy, make me co-host.
Hey, King Wobby, lower the price of your Discord, man.
Yeah, haven't you made enough money, you monster?
We have over 300 people, but anyways, that gets closed off after this month, so get away.
You know, it gets closed off for a month and then you raise the price to get back in. That's how it works.
Denver, I don't have the Denver variant. All you nerds at ETH Denver got me sick. Just wait until I get better. I'm going to get my revenge on all of you.
Don't tank the Spectre tokens, please. I need that to go up for like one more day.
If he has to solve her medical bills, you're fucked.
Dude, it's my best shit coin.
Wabi's going to need like a chest x-ray and an echocardiogram over there. It's falling apart. Jesus Christ. He goes to altitude once and he's like turned into a monster.
What strain of the ninja bug did you get?
Okay, but I came out of ETH Denver feeling really distasteful about all the nerd projects.
Oh, everybody got that.
I made it
It's just altitude sickness.
Everyone got the flu, I heard.
I don't know, man, but the only projects that I came out of East Denver bullish on was Injective and Airweave, specifically Airweave. Because the guys actually knew like how to talk about markets. Everybody else was nerdy, so and then the people from Solana were really liberal. Because I went over and I shook the guy's, I shook the guy's hand and I'm like, you know, thank you for the gains you've made me. The token has gone up pretty good over the last year. Thank you for your hard work. You've done an excellent job. And then he's like, oh, sorry, I can't attend to you right now. I'm talking to somebody else. And then I'm like, okay, Kim Jong-un.
And then did he?
I'm glad at least Ansem is tweeting about Solana, because I don't know what you're doing here. Because the thing is, dude, like, it, like online, everyone can talk a big game. Everyone can act tough. But in person, I'm the same person on Spaces as I am in person, okay? And, like, if you work for a project or if you're a content creator and you can't bring your game in person, like, to me, it says that there are some internal issues that you need to work on.
You just, like, start hammer-trailing them on the spot.
Look, and I've recently found out that it's not a good idea to talk to someone who lives halfway across the country and does TikToks. That is the absolute worst thing that I can recommend that any man do. If you're a man, you need to speak to women in person, okay? Don't do this weird shit, Discord kitty, boyfriend and girlfriend stuff, I met you on a space type stuff. You need to be a man and buckle up and bow up and speak to women in person.
I've been practicing on this game.
Wabi, give us a taste of your Discord for free right now on this recorded space. What is the number, the top five tokens?
I'll give you, hold on. Let me cook. I'll give you a recent trade. We got into Floki 2 days ago, and that's almost up like 2x. We all accumulated Pepe a few weeks ago. That's up like damn near 10x.
Anybody could have told
you that. We bought at the fucking lows. You could have been dollar cost averaging into Pepe for damn near a year and not do anything. We got into this fucker like right before the breakout. There's a thing between opportunity cost and actually prospering almost immediately after the trade. But anyways, and I document this stuff on my timeline too. Shortly after the Discord, of course, we got into FET shortly below a dollar, Render at about $5. That's been going pretty well. But that's a little taste. We go on two daily calls, Monday through Friday, one at 9:15, 15 minutes before the New York Open. And then the second one is at 3:30, 30 minutes before the New York close. So it's me and all of our other guys, Jackis, Max, Tucker, Tommy, and Will. And we just talk about, you know, what's been going on in the market for the last couple of hours. All those are recorded on a separate streaming tab. And we also have like our own TA/daily analysis channels. And we also have channels covering every single ecosystem within the crypto space. So whether it's Ordinals, Cosmos, all kinds of airdrops, proof of work, NFTs, we cover it all. We got into Bitcoin Puppets at 0.02. We got into CanPy Pandas at point, I think it was like 0.07-ish in October of last year.
Dude, how crazy is Bitcoin Puppets? Yeah. That was a free mint.
Yeah, well, one of our community members actually like told us about it. So, and that's really all I have to say, man, about it. I don't really want to like talk product right now. If people want to join, by all means, bro. But that's a little something. And everyone that's within the group right now has access to our trading terminal. that goes live in Q2. So basically uses LLM, it's language learning models, to execute orders and all that good stuff, access derivatives data, and we extract data from Coinalyze, Glassnode, a bunch of those other like on-chain products, all into a one in-house interface. It's kind of like InSilico Terminal mixed with Ben Cowan's into the Cryptoverse. So it's going to be a one-stop shop kind of thing. So yeah, that's what it's all about, man. And we produce.
You get on your Discord channel thing, and then you basically like you ape into whatever you guys say, or what? How does it work?
Not exactly. It's not really a signals group. We used to do free trials, but like it became really diluted, and there was like a lot of like leechers and all that stuff. And yeah, we just stopped doing that, and it's been up only all year. Our YouTube has grown by like in the beginning of February, we were at like 3,000. Subscribers. Now we're at over 7,000. Our Twitter at the start of the year was at 16K followers. Now we're pushing at 19. Our YouTube live streams, which run Monday through Friday at 11 a.m., we bumped that up from 600 views to well over 1,000 views in the past couple of weeks. And I recently started my own YouTube live stream in that channel, which happens every Thursday. And next week, I start uploading formatted content on Saturdays and Sundays. So we're expanding, man. And like, if you're a content creator, you know that like this isn't for the faint of heart. Like if you're in this for the money, man, like prepare to like not really make money until like the first year. Honestly, man, not the first year, until after the first year. And also, of course, like you have market conditions and all that stuff, because when we streamed with Ben Callen over the summertime, we streamed with him like 10 times already, but one of our previous streams over the summertime, he's like, I think you guys are going to be pretty big, just wait until after the halving. And Callen showed us some of his metrics, and Ben Callen at the start of 2020, he had 1500 Twitter followers. And he barely had 2,000 YouTube subscribers. And then after the halving, after the 2020 halving, he went parabolic. And that's kind of what's happening to us right now. We're about a month away from the halving. But I'm not really thinking too much of it. Honestly, I'm just grateful I get to do this and to talk Marcus with you all. So
I thank Scott every day. I wake up and I do my YouTube videos. I thank Scott.
Yeah, that's the way to do it, man. Without him, we have
nothing. I'm gonna make a sick Doge video tomorrow. Hope you all watch at least the first 10 seconds of it.
Yeah. Like retail, they like normal sounding narratives. Like if a friend asks you about crypto and all that stuff, like don't say, "Oh, you're a top signal. I'm gonna fade you." Like don't be mean, right? Because you're not a cool guy. You're just a fucking avatar. Yeah, so be a nice person. At some point, that was your goofy ass. So that's what I have to say about that. And I don't think the top is in. Probably not until Q4 of next year. But I sort of think that this cycle is going to be a mixture of 2017 and 2013, where it's going to be a clean parabolic run, but there's probably going to be two of them. This year and next year's. So I'm kind of thinking like we'll probably run up to like 140K and then correct by 40%, 50%.
I think there's gonna be a lag in the middle, Wabi.
You think
have a run.
Go ahead.
But you break high, you have some run here, and then things have to go sideways for who knows how long. And then you'll have another run up, as opposed to a double bubble last time. I think you'll have like up, pause, sideways a bunch. By sideways, I mean plus or minus 40% or 50%. And then
there was a black swan in the middle of the bull run with that China banning the mining thing.
Yeah. It delayed the bull run is what happened. Yeah. And it was kind of good for me because I bought
it. It was fucking terrible for me. That day I went fishing, and then when I came back to my car and looked at my phone, I lost like $12,000. I was like, wow, that was a fucking terrible fishing trip.
What, you were you on leverage or something?
No, like my overall portfolio value.
Position.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
just,
yeah.
I was like, shit. That was-
Dude, I knew that it was the top in early 2022, late 2021, when I got into some shit called Vader. And it was like this copycat thing of Terra.
I remember when Rand,
I remember right when the top was formed, when Rand Uner talked about it, I immediately realized like almost 200,000 in drawdown immediately. And I went to go sell it, and I ate like 9,000 in slippage because everybody was trying to sell the damn.
Wait, what was your top? What would you say when you realized the top was in?
When I lost like almost 200,000 on Vader. So
I knew the top was in, but I didn't, it didn't register because I was on a, I remember the week that engagement died. I remember it was the last week of March in 2022, the week before I was doing contests online. I was getting like 300-400 people to retweet my stuff. And then the very next week I do a similar contest, like 40-50 people. And then I was like, this sucks, man. I'm just going to tweet about American Idol. I'll watch American Idol. No one gave a shit. And I still didn't sell. I was still buying stuff. I didn't. It never registered that was the top. I just thought that my Twitter sucked.
Yeah. Like, if you stop using Twitter for like 2 days and you stop reply guying, to get your engagement back up, it's going to take like a good week. So.
I periodically like take Twitter off my phone and I don't log in, and I'm too old to like go on Twitter all the time. I don't think Twitter's a real place. I like Spaces.
I did notice Joe, though.
I don't think
Joe, like I did notice last season, to your point, like I did notice that big drop off in just,
like, it was literally like the last 10 days of engagement? The last 10 days of March. It was worse than the USTD peg.
Not only that, Joe, like another thing was the second sort of spike of Bitcoin. Another thing was on Google Trends, there weren't nearly as many people searching at that point either. So that second pump was like, it was truly like an echo bubble, but it was definitely not anyone new coming in at that point. And that's when I realized, hey, wait a minute, like, I definitely don't want to leave Twitter because I kind of joined Twitter in 2021, but I realized, wait, the social metric of having a lot of followers is not about shilling your bags. It's that you have an immediate metric about what the fuck's going on around you, right? Like in YouTube, YouTubers notice the same thing. When the views start dropping, you notice immediately, right?
I hope because I'm guessing like if we're in like an all out bull market, I'll probably be live streaming like every day. So I'll be pretty in tune. It's whether or not like my brain registers it, because it takes me a long time to process shit. I don't know what's wrong with me. I think I probably, in my life, I probably like just had too many sleepless nights and like drank too much.
Well, it's I don't think it's just that. I think what it is you get into the hopium a bit.
Yeah.
And you've sucked in too much hopium. And what happens is like you don't really trust signals that show up. After the fact, you're like, oh yeah, that was a top signal. That was a top signal. That was a top signal. And that, you know, like whatever. But before the fact, it just seems like, well, maybe I'm just like overthinking.
It's also right after a major crash. Like, at some point, like in the bull, you had some serious correction. So you're thinking like, this will be like last time. Like, yeah, you have a recency bias, I guess, is all I'm saying.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. No, this is just another correction.
There's too much in crypto. Like most of the people that are in crypto are like totally, they're good at crypto, but they're very inexperienced investors. Most likely never bought a stock in their life, right? So like
it's about how much money you keep.
They go too much by feel, or like they go too much by like how they feel.
Yeah. But also, it was also a common expectation in my head that like, hey, we'd be hitting like 150K BTC. Like, you know, because we 20K BTC from 2017 to 70K, honestly, was not that big of a move. And I think so I either. Felt like we had a lot.
I don't think so either.
And that's part of what got, well, that's part of what
I think that China, sure, that China mining ban took a lot of wind out of the sails of the market, and we were like lucky to get up there in that stratosphere again. I don't feel like that was, I wonder if it's a function of the halving having a less and less effect because the actual inflation is decreasing by less, even though it's half of a half every time, right? So I wonder if there's like less of a supply squeeze last time, but I think
it's one other thing too, Joe. I think the 20K 2017 peak just didn't make any sense. Like, so I think what it is that 20K peak made adoption seem like it was a lot bigger than it was. I think that's what it was. And I think the reason for it is back in those days, the markets were just not anywhere near as
I would say the liquidity was really rough. Like,
yeah. And yeah, so like, even though it seemed like it was like, okay, we had Coinbase and we had some things, whatever, you know, you didn't have that depth. And I think I got fooled into thinking there was more actual adoption than there was. And therefore, like, the fact that we dumped back down to 3K a couple of times and kind of corrected and everything, that was more the real value. But like, had we not gone to 20K that season, like, let's say we only went to like, you know, 10K and then dropped to 3K, I would have had a much different expectation. And 70K would have seemed like appropriate by all metrics, right? But when you use that 2017 top as kind of like a useful metric in an illiquid market, I think that was my mistake. And that's why I overestimated
how high. I wasn't like a deep thinker about this at all back then. I was literally like just shooting from the hip and blind guessing. I remember buying the top. I bought like, I made a buy with like a whole paycheck around like 17,000, 18,000. And I think a lot of people were drawn into Bitcoin at that time.
You're talking back in like,
yeah, I think because of Ethereum. I think Ethereum pulled more people in and kept their attention for a lot longer. So Ethereum and Bitcoin kind of worked in tandem to like kind of.
But Ethereum sort of ran more like 2018 though, right? Like right afterwards.
Yeah, but it was like there was so much hype around like what a smart contract was and like how it's going to change everything. And I think it kept. Bitcoin is much easier to mechanically trade than DeFi tokens because there's always like that story of like, this is how it's going to, you know, in 10 years, we're all going to be using fucking Boot, you know, or whatever. With Bitcoin, you could mechanically trade it and not give a shit about it.
Yeah, like I was a BTC maxi till right around like late 2020, honestly. Like I had a little bit of ETH and whatnot that I bought at the bottoms of that market. But like, for the most part, I was a BTC maxi. I didn't get into anything much until like maybe 2021, really mostly. And so I wasn't paying attention at all to those narratives, like smart contract narratives or anything at all. Like I probably should have been, but I wasn't.
I kind of just view them as two separate things. Like Bitcoin's awesome, but smart contracts are just a separate sector.
That's exactly how it was all positioned at that time. They were saying, okay, Bitcoin is like the old way of blockchains and it only can do payments, but smart contracts can do all these crazy things. And it was like, the information was very incomplete. Like you got to use your imagination a lot when you were watching a YouTube video or like reading something online. So it added so much hype to Ethereum, I think. Kind of like a shitcoin now, when like you get like a half-assed roadmap and you're like, oh, but the founder went to Berkeley. He's fucking genius. We're going to buy this token and they will definitely execute this roadmap to the T and it will accrue all value back to this token. You use your imagination so much because there was so many unexplored possibilities. Ethereum, I mean, I would argue that at that time, like for me anyway, what information I came in contact with, Ethereum was so hyped up even more than some of the modern tokens that have kind of off the wall use cases. That was like the way I was getting information because of, you know, just like my contact, I guess, with the info then.
Yeah, it was a giga hype cycle. It's where it like 2018 went to like pump to high heaven, remember?
Yeah. Oh, I remember.
And then dumped like 95% from that top.
So. I was so bad at trading then. I was losing money on the way up and the way down. Like I didn't get like wrecked or anything, but I was definitely like jumping tokens at the wrong time. And like, I didn't understand that order books needed liquidity. So I would like, I would buy a token and not realize that I was the one driving the price up on this exchange. And then I would buy more. And then when I would set my limit order to sell, it would not get filled ever. And then I would make like a market sell. And then I would end up losing more money than I made. I did that a bunch of times. And then I was like, oh, an order book is actually like, someone actually has to buy the order. Oh, that's how it works. I learned the hard way a lot.
Right. Yeah. Like you don't understand how these things work.
No, I had no idea. Cause you know, when you're on like trading stocks, like your orders get automatically filled, but you just think that that's how it, right. You just think that's how it works.
Some depth and everything. Yeah. They'll figure out how to, you generally fill with a very like close approximation to your price. Cause you're in stocks, you're generally trading things that have way more liquidity.
Oh yeah. Right? But if you don't know what liquidity is, it's like a shock.
Yeah, if you go to the penny stocks and stuff, you will see the same thing as crypto.
Yeah,
you know, like where your buy will actually move the price and stuff. So slippage and all, yeah. But yeah, it's interesting. Like when you, it's like a lot more straightforward now than it was then in terms of the kinds of like market dynamics, the liquidity depth for a lot of things. But still, when newbies get onto like AMMs and stuff, you know, it's purely Wild West out there, right? Like it's just hilarious.
I think you have to have a good sense of humor about getting wrecked and just enjoy the Wild West when it happens. Like when you get like these maniacal fucking cycles and stuff, like you just have to just try not.
Although you have to admit, it's only funny.
It's now. Only funny after my, right. this is my third one, and it potentially could be my fifth cycle, but I never. Like when I first heard about Bitcoin, it was like 2011, and a guy was going to give me 3 Bitcoin at a poker game to cash me out. And Bitcoin was like $80, so I, you know, $240. And I looked at him dead in the face, and I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't even have a smartphone. And I just took the $240, and I probably spent it that week. And then the next time around, I knew about Bitcoin again, and I just didn't pull. I thought, I'm like, this is, I don't know what I was thinking. I didn't even bother to like Google it at the time. Like people were talking to me about it. I could have been in.
No, what it was conceptually this idea that like something else besides dollars were somehow money. And
no, because I was into metals and stuff. So like you would think someone who is into metals and was at least like open-minded about currencies could easily wrap their head around Bitcoin and get curious. I didn't get curious.
No. Like there weren't that many explainers.
No, but like I had people talking to me about it when I was like out, like
and the most people using it were like doing illicit stuff. Like I still blame my friend because I heard about it in 2013 or whenever Silk Road was, and that was my introduction. Was like, dude, like you're fucking insane if you think you're never gonna get in trouble for that. And like a couple months later was when I got busted, and he was getting like emails from the FBI and shit. And I was like, dude, you're an idiot. Like I knew that stuff was dangerous. So then like 5 years later or whatever, I hear about Bitcoin again. I'm like, what? Like that's the real thing still? Like
what's the email from the FBI look like? It's like, excuse me, can you not do that? What are you doing with those fake tokens?
No, it was literally that. It was like, hi, I'm Carl, and I would like to stay in contact with you and still do illicit activities, please.
Also remember the dominant news back then was either related to Silk Road related stuff, or it was related to
Mt. Gox. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it was like, wait, where do you go to get this? And why would I go there? And that was what most people were thinking at that point was like, what is the point of this thing? And certainly very few people were like, understood to the point where they're mining and everything. Right. That was an uncommon thing as well. But yeah, it's like you had to get kind of like orange pilled over time and the resources for understanding it, not to mention the resources for Americans to just go out and exchange and buy it, didn't come till much later.
Yeah, I don't think there were even stable coins really back then, because I remember not having a place to park profits, and that was another part of the problem in like 2017. I don't remember there being stable coins on the exchanges I used, so I had to like swap tokens into other tokens. And I still have my notebook of like writing down like how much things were, because I like really was actually going to pay my taxes and stuff. And I lost, you know, I ended up being like a net loser. So I don't think I had to pay taxes, but I don't remember Tether being on the exchanges that I used.
No, Tether came out much
okay,
later.
Okay, okay. So then, all right. So it's not my fault that I sucked at trading.
Tether came out. Well, first of all, Tether came out obviously after Ethereum came out. So it's like
that's true.
Okay. That's a huge argument for maybe why Bitcoin only hit like 70K too, is you had that much more capital in stablecoins instead of like everyone denominating in Bitcoin again for another cycle. You had like some sector of it that chose to, you know, denominate in stablecoins instead.
The stablecoin liquidity was enormous in the last
cycle. Yeah, so if you just moved all that to Bitcoin, I wonder what the top would have looked like.
I mean, I'm sure a lot of it would have made its way into Bitcoin had fucking UST cooperated.
Right. Oh, we were so close. I don't even want to talk about it. That's why it's funny people talk about the end of last cycle and like, oh, I didn't notice the bottom. I'm like, oh, I sure as hell noticed the bottom because I was wiped out right before that.
I noticed there were a couple bottoms, but the most recent bottom was in the summertime. I was on Twitter and it was like 10 in the morning, which is usually a good time for a bunch of Twitter spaces to be happening. And I think it was like August. And Informal was having a space. And there were two speakers and five audience members. And I was like, this is fucking embarrassing. I rearranged my whole portfolio that day. I was like, this is the end of this. This is the time to fucking move all my stable coins into fungible tokens, sell a bunch of NFTs like this is the bottom of fungible tokens. And I got lucky because of one of the tokens I bought was Jackal. It was like 3 cents. Now it's like it's going to hit a dollar eventually, I would imagine. So,
dude, what's funny is in the chaos in Terra, and I actually just bought the wrong ones, but I told my friend, I was like, dude, it's all going to shit. Just buy NFTs because we couldn't get our money out. And it was like, it was past where you could like get it out. So it was literally just like, dude, maybe these will survive. And he ended up like bailing on him, I think, but he bought a ton of Galactic Punks for like super, like literally pennies. And he like recovered a good amount of his bag that way. If he had actually held them, he'd probably be like break even. I bought those stupid toads that were like really cool, but they just like bailed after it crashed because their funding was gone.
I'm sitting here looking at my portfolio. I'm like, why am I so bad at trading? And I'm like, oh yeah, because I don't sell any of my shit. Because I round tripped my Atom for the most part, and I don't mind round tripping my Bitcoin, but the other stuff is kind of silly to fucking round trip altcoins.
It's a tough debate right now because like I've definitely sold some stuff where I shouldn't have, and I could have like made serious amounts, and I'm like sold it for like $100. It's like, well, that seems dumb now, but then you don't do that and it all like goes away. Like, well, should I take that $100? Like,
do you guys ever ask yourself who's gonna be the buyer of your bag?
Yeah, my dad.
I would say I hope it's my parents. Then I'll know that I fucking sold at the right time because they're going to be alive.
But hold on. Are your parents going to go on chain and buy like these complex tokens, or are they going to buy meme coins on Coinbase?
My dad was the top of he bought the Coinbase IPO, so he pretty much was the top indicator last cycle, right?
Now, my dad doesn't know how computers work. He thinks you just unplug them from the wall to turn them off. So I don't think.
So I want you guys to do a little experiment. Get a photo of the Doge thing, right? Like the Dogecoin doggy, and then Bonk, and then Pepe, and then Mog. Put it all like on a carpet, and then ask your kids or your little nephews or cousins which one they like more. And that's probably going to outperform all the DeFi tokens.
I want to actually test this. I have a nephew who's like 3. Like, he's way too young to understand. It would be perfect.
My kid's 4.5. I think that's the perfect age, actually.
Yeah. Oh, and then ask yourself, like, if I'm a crypto bro that doesn't want to buy stocks, what is the best tokenized version of that? And it's AI, so it's FET and Render. Those are basically like crypto versions of NVIDIA.
Akash. And the boomers like Akash.
Is Akash like even easy to buy?
Yeah. That's it's on centralized exchanges.
Is it on Coinbase now?
It's not on Coinbase where I live, but it's on Kraken.
Yeah, because Render and FET were easy. Because those are on Coinbase.
Yeah, I think Akash is going on Coinbase, or it is already.
Where I live, we don't get all the same Coinbase tokens as everybody else. New York is really bitchy with tokens, so.
Yeah, and the only things that are missing from Coinbase is Pepe, Whiff, Bonk, and Mog. And you have to think to yourself, you know, meme coins... they don't get listed on these normie centralized exchanges until Ethereum breaks an all-time high. Because when ETH breaks an all-time high, the stupid alarm goes off. And when the stupid alarm goes off, these meme coins are probably going to be a lot higher, right? You think they're high right now, but they're not, because ETH is still not at an all-time high. And once
ETH,
yeah, you got to turn your brain. I'm just turning my brain off, man. And I made this post almost a month ago, more like 3 weeks ago. I was saying how like Modularity was underperforming, and it's in my profile because I quote tweeted myself, and Dime was like hovering in the $7-ish region. I'm like, yo, this thing is like underperforming. So what did I do? I had to readjust, and I bought FAT and Render shortly before NVIDIA earnings. And FAT is up like 3x, Render is up like 2.5x. And at the time, I was about like FAT at that time was at the top, quote unquote top. And then Render was close to testing its quote unquote top. So you think you're late, but you're not really late, right? Because there are a few things that are lagging, which actually give you a global top indicator, right? When you really want to think about it, is selling too early, right? What I mean by that is when you think BTC and ETH have topped, that's when I think I'll sell my alts, instead of like thinking to myself, oh crap, it's too late to buy these alts because they're up 10x off the bottom. Yeah, they're up 10x off the bottom because of the liquidity within the system right now, right? Not because of new money, right? We pumped from 15K all the way to like 40 with just the people within the system. Because it really wasn't until like late October, early November, when quote unquote new money, right? Like fresh money was coming into the system. And you can look at that through USDT printing, USDC printing, new accounts created on Coinbase and stuff like that. And you can still say that you're early because it's now when you're seeing the Coinbase App Store starting to go up in rankings. So you're actually right on time. You're not too late, but you're not too early. You're right on time. So if you think that, you know, total crypto market cap is going to go up, you know, 3x from the all-time high, so that would take us to like almost 10 trillion market cap. You have to think of things, you know, 3x higher. So if you saw Doge reach a market cap of 60 billion, right, or 70 billion, think three times more of that. The top meme coin this cycle by market cap is probably going to be $250 billion. Whether that's Doge or SHIB or Bonk, whatever, it doesn't matter. You just have to take into perspective that there's going to be a meme coin that goes into the triple digit billions, and then ask yourself, what does that say? Hold on, let me cook. What does that say about the virality of the current memes, right? You see Mog all over TikTok. You see Pepe all over the internet. You see Whiff everywhere. You see Bonk is the mascot of Solana next to things like Miro. And then you can look at Doge and look at Doge Beta like Floki and say, hey, they're building some games. People like their NFTs. Normies like gaming and NFTs. Beam has been going up like crazy. Prime has been going up like crazy. So there's a demand for gaming. So you have gaming and memes with Floki. So, you know,
part of the reason why the numbers can go up so crazy high is because there's no actual real, like, those numbers are not like stock market. These are illiquid markets relatively.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can get crazy ass numbers just like BTC 20K in 2017. You can get the same thing happen with meme coins today, and it's just bidding up the order book. But there's no equity for that much billions of.
We also don't know if there's going to be more DeFi protocols that have even more absurd incentives to lock up tokens and vest tokens. And
yeah, we need the Ponzi. Like
we need like 20 more dexes like 2 months before.
We need the Ohm forks. The Ohm forks are coming back. I can feel it.
I mean, you've got things like Eigenlayer going live. You have that weird grass thing. And then you have the things with modularity going live with Rollaps and all that other crap. So maybe that provides like an extra 100 billion of quote unquote stable coin liquidity, right? Through things like Eigenlayer, Modular, whatever, and all the other new layer ones, right? So, you know, like it's not like we're all playing with, you know, nine figures, right? Most of us in here are playing with like 6 to 7 figures or close to 8, right? And as we increase, right, and you find yourself with like $20-30 million in crypto, you're probably, you know, I mean, if you reach that point, you
I am not playing with 6 to 7
you probably
figures.
Know some people who know some people, and you're probably gonna sell like into Bitcoin or Ethereum, right? Like there's a certain point when, there's a certain point where like the shit coins, you can play with them, but like, it's not actually like for some of us here, it's probably like the last time we go in with as much attention as possible and as much liquidity as possible into the shit coin sector. But after that, it just becomes like what Seffy does. Like Seffy just plays around with this stuff because he comes from the .com bubble and bought Apple stock at like under $1.
My attention span, Wabi, is going to be like next season is definitely going to be even less than this season, and this season's less than last season for sure.
Next
season, and if like, I interview a founder, I'm going to ask one question. It's going to be like, what color is your logo on CoinGecko? And that's going to be the only question. And it looks like purple. Purple is like the most common logo. Purple and like turquoise.
If it's purple, it's like it's going to be a Ponzi that crashes.
Purple probably. And turquoise, it's that's what most people go with. So.
Yeah, that's what Monad is shooting for. Purple.
When's Monad coming up?
Probably like, I would say like 8 months out from the top, I would say. So like when Monad increases, you probably have like 8 months because like it's that project as of now that a lot of people are waiting for. I just think that like by the time the project comes out, people might care about it, honestly. Like, because like you remember when like, you know, certain projects that were hyped and then they come out. But
the thing
out.
Is, Wabi, so let's say it comes out like after the top and, you know, you're kind of in like bearish territory, right? There's usually something that runs in the bear market, 2 or 3 things, right? You want to, like, it's easy to get into those compared to a lot of other things in life. Like, it's like the bear market.
I think NFTs are good.
I feel like people are just overthinking a lot of the market. Sorry, I'm over here at the casino, so it's a little bit loud. But I think
Joe, go ahead.
Oh no, Wills is talking. I guess you can't hear him.
Oh yeah.
Seffy, make me co-host. If I can't hear him,
there you go. We'll get this sorted out.
Yeah, I also can't hear him. Make me co-host.
Jesus, all right, fine.
I don't think she wants co-host because she can't hear me. No, I was just going to say, I think people are just overthinking the market. It's really a lot more cut and dry than what a lot of people are actually, sorry about the background noise, actually noticing. But like there's a froth, right? And that froth has been building and building and building and building, and now it's exploding. I mean, will it cool down at some point? Sure. But I think like just people need to not think too hard and just bid. When they see buying or interest into something. And I think there's something going on cyclical in this space. We can call it 4chan related or not 4chan related. I've noticed a lot of alpha has come off of 4chan. It's really freaking weird, but I've been ahead of the trend just by following that specifically. I think people are looking for, you know, people to come in and bid things that make sense. this market is, it doesn't make any sense. It's not, it's irrational, right? So what does it make sense to bid when you got an irrational market? It makes sense to bid things that don't make sense, shit coins. You know, coins that really don't have value, coins that are illiquid. Like right now, people are searching for ways to catch up on, oh shit, I was wrong because I followed all the macro guys. And I think people are really understanding right?
I think there's an element to that. And I think that's why people are going straight to meme coins. They're trying to do like a 10-20x to make up losses from the
exactly,
previous cycle.
Exactly. That's why I said don't like overthink it, because it's there for a reason and it's obvious why people are doing this. And I'm taking advantage of it. I'm not even gonna lie. Like, I mean, 222x on Soul Chat. I got a fucking 25x just today on fucking Pelf. Like, these people are they are losing it. Like, they are so desperate to catch up on this market that they are bidding the most ridiculous things. I got to run in though. I got to move real quick. I'm gonna watch with my kid, but I wanted to stop in and kind of throw that out there. I feel like that's not being entertaining enough.
It's true. I mean, if you boil it down to like the way I boiled it down to is like, okay, the halvening is here. There'll be less supply, right? But the narratives are important even more than that. And for me, I said, okay, AI, DPIN, modularity. I need to make sure I'm covering those bases. And then I think that eventually privacy is going to be one of those narratives. I think privacy is only on like an as needed basis. Like, it'll come in and out of style when it's an issue, like when there's like some government thing going on or whatever. But I have some bets in privacy as well. I know, Sefa, you like Zeth mainly for other reasons, but I think like narrative, I think privacy will be a big narrative at some point, maybe in the bear market, who knows?
No, simple answer is like, I take all the winnings and I dump them into Zeth. And you know exactly why I do that. Because I have a brain. And what happens is that like, you lose all your money to the ledger, the government ledger.
Yeah. I mean, it also, it has a pretty chart too.
It does, of course. Yeah. It's early market cap. But like, if I could have been an early Monero, I never really paid attention to Monero back then. Like, if I could have bought Monero when it first came out, then yeah, like that's, I'm making up for having missed Monero back in like whatever, 2013, 2014. And I'm making up for it in style here. So that's the plan. Because like, if you could have a bag and it was invisible, that's the bag you want to have. Like, even Satoshi, you know, like in that, in the emails that were revealed recently, right? Like, he clearly stated that like, he decided not to do privacy because he thought it was already going to attract too much attention. There's a reason why he's anonymous, by the way, like, but he thought it was going to attract too much attention and it was going to cause Bitcoin not to take off in popularity because it's going to catch the ire of more agencies and such earlier on. And so privacy was specifically left out of Bitcoin on purpose.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I always assumed that the goal was full transparency as a way to kind of challenge the establishment.
No, like for payments, you can't do payments without privacy.
No, you. Not so I agree.
For payments, yeah. Like essentially Bitcoin, besides like mine Bitcoin or whatever, like once you create a paper trail for your BTC, you can't really use it for like, even if I were to send you some BTC right now, Joe, like let's say I had, you know, 7,000 BTC in my wallet and like, I don't want you to know that I have that in my wallet. I could then move like one BTC to another wallet and then send it to you or whatever. But then you can like go back and like, you know, trace.
Yeah, you kind of need assets, centralized, right? Exchanges to start over, start new, like seed new wallets, right?
Yeah. So like, you know, like the decentralized payment idea was never going to be like a workable thing. And that was known to be a weakness at the time, but done so for preventing like regulatory attack vectors and other things to have from happening and like keeping it a little bit above board. And it was done, but that discussion was had. You can see those emails where that discussion was had and it was decided on purpose not to.
It turns out they hate transparency even more. They're like, oh my God, look at all these terrorists we keep capturing due to Bitcoin. This is terrible. Elizabeth Warren, we need to do something about this transparency and arresting all the terrorists that use Bitcoin. It's really weird.
Yeah, but I think like the privacy narrative that won't like really run until you have a couple of things are going to happen. One is you have the gigantic grift. The biggest grift of all time is going to be the AI grift, right? Like using AI to just manipulate the fuck out of people. That's coming like here. There are, well, not coming next year. It's already here now. People are getting scammed out of their money. People are, you know, like having conversations with people that aren't real and getting their money stolen and stuff. So there's that. And then there's also the AI analysis of things like your financials, your wallets, and everything else, where people try to do all sorts of shenanigans like pin crimes on you and all sorts of shit. Like you could do amazing psyops with AI with when you couple them with financial instruments. So that's the other reason why I'm dumping a big pile of money in Zephyr, because like a modest market cap for Zephyr from here, it's like 70 million or whatever, a modest market cap of even $1 billion to $2 billion, and it's basically becomes fairly liquid and it becomes an untraceable thing where like you can't use computation against me at that point. So it sounds kind of paranoid and weird, but like it becomes very, very usable for my personal utility.
How do you even get that token? You're mining it yourself?
I'm mining it, but you can just get on Mexi right now. Like Mexi, TradeOgre. It's on all the exchanges that like only a cypherpunk would go to. TradeOgre, no KYC. It's on, what's it called? Like freaking 7Seas and stuff like that. Like nobody goes to these exchanges, but they're like, if you go and play with them, you go and look at these exchanges, go to TradeOgre right now and tell me that shit is not 1990s.
I never even heard of it, but I can't wait.
No, like pull it up and see TradeOgre.com and you'll be like, holy fuck, that's old school, man. So yeah, like you have like these mini exchange, like tiny exchanges that have it. And then Mexi is the most liquidity. And then they're coming up with some Sarai decks and like Zephyr swap and shit. Point is, like, when there's a will, there's a way. And for privacy, even with Monero dumping off of Binance, so Binance kicked Monero off because they wanted to get rid of like privacy coins for regulatory shit. It's still on Monero, still on
Kraken.
What's it called? Kraken. Yeah, so you can still get it. It's not illegal or anything in America. You can use it. That caused XMR's price to dump, and I bought that dump. It was a perfect buy, actually. Now it's at like 144 again, and I'm up already. This is easy money. Anytime you see a capitulation in crypto, always buy it. But the privacy thing, what in the last 10 to 15 years, like generally speaking, the denizens of the internet don't care about their privacy. This is a fact, and it's factual because like even people's passwords suck. So generally speaking, people are willing to give up their data, give up their money, whatever. They don't care about privacy. And a lot of scams and stuff happen as a result of it. But the coming next few years, like with CBDCs, AI, and AI attack vectors, the number of ways people can steal your money is going to go up exponentially here. Like, and then all of a sudden people are like, oh, wait a minute, I wish I got my privacy coin. But like, why the fuck wouldn't you want your privacy coin while its market cap is tiny? And because really all Zeph is, it's a fork of XMR, the core protocol, right? So we know it works. We know it's secure. And the beauty of it is like, it's like getting XMR when it was like just first came out in 2014, when it was like worth, you know, less than 100 mil.
And you know, and now it's like, to your point earlier about the illiquid markets, there's no sector that's more illiquid of the major ones than privacy. Like there's not that many options. And if there's some type of like narrative that now funnels all these people into,
it'll pump
like I, time, that, yeah. That's really, I'm a big believer that Shade Protocol, for better or for worse, like all the Cosmos people are going to automatically jam at least staking rewards into that app any way they can, if there's any kind of need.
Now, the counter to this is people haven't generally like I said, people for the last 10 years have not given a shit about privacy. Like human beings don't care about it. How do we know? Because if you look at all the narrative pumps, like has there ever been a really narrative driven pump in privacy?
Very short lived. It lasts secret, like a day.
Like all the other, everything pumped during the bull market pump, like the giga pump of 2021. Yes. But it wasn't, the privacy coins went up just with everything else. They didn't pump like separately with a narrative. It's not like,
no, AI, I agree with that.
Where everyone's like, oh, right. So there's never like a narrative time ever where privacy, anyone really cared about it. So I'm not super, super confident that you're going to get like, you know, gigantic, you know, like $100 billion market cap on a Monero or Zephyr. I don't see that.
I think it can simply because there's not that many options.
But see, here's the beauty of it. The beauty of it is because, like, right now the market cap's only 70 mil. Like, if it goes to 1 to 3 billion, I'm golden. What do I give a shit? Right? Like, I don't need it to go. Like, if you're early, you don't need it to go to hundreds of billions or something or have some pie in the sky expectations. Like, if Zephyr Protocol was, like, at 3 billion now, would I be buying it? Probably not. Like, not necessarily for a utility perspective, yeah. But from price appreciation perspective, not nearly as much, right? So that's the difference. So, like, now the beauty is it's like it'd be like being in Monero 2014 is what it is now.
Interesting. And the Trade Ogre looks like a disaster. But
another way to look at this, Joe, is like think about it this way. If you like, okay, so if you have a coin and it's not run very many exchanges, it's very illiquid. So it can pump to crazy numbers. And then later, when it gets listed on some, you know, T1 exchange somewhere or whatever, a KuCoin or something, then the market makers will market make around the new price. So you don't want these coins to be listed on centralized exchanges until after they pump to ridiculous levels. And a good example of that is, remember we went over like Decentraland earlier and Sandbox, yep, and all these coins with gaming. Notice how all of their market caps are in the 1 to 1.5 billion range. And even during the bear market, they didn't get like completely wrecked, right? Like, they reached a point, they locked in their market caps, and they stayed there despite the fact that nobody gave a fuck about these tokens. Why does that happen? Why does Dogecoin retain a market cap of 10 billion? It's because of the way these market makers work. There's kind of like the price just sort of gets locked in at a certain level. And if you can get your coin to pump, I'm thinking of Cum Rocket. You can get your coin to pump long before it gets listed on centralized exchanges with deep liquidity. That's actually good for you as an initial investor. You don't want it to be listed too early, in my opinion.
That makes sense.
So it's actually good that it's on like fringe fucking exchanges. Like, if you look at what Bitcoin was earlier, right? And we talk about this a lot in crypto. It's like the harder that shit is to find, the more hardcore diamond-handed people are buying it. But also because it's such a nuisance to sell it, it's like you're like, fuck it, I'm just gonna leave it alone, right? Like,
that's true. No, like that happens a lot.
There's a friction.
I held the position because I didn't want to pay ETH gas fees for like an extra year, and I ended up losing like 80% on it.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like I think these are the kind of like principles I look at when I'm just picking some coin or whatever. Am I early? And if so, like, can I put size in this thing or not? Because here's the thing. The other thing, like, there's a lot of small market cap shit out there. But how many of them can you throw $1 million at? Or how many of how many of them can you throw any significant amount of money at and feel reasonably comfortable with them? That's the problem, right? So a lot of times what happens is most people feel more comfortable when something is like $10 billion market cap, and then they throw their money in with higher size. So another interesting phenomenon that happens in these markets is the higher the market cap goes, the more comfortable people are throwing in more money at it, which is a weird phenomenon. But it's basically like the price gives people consensus that, oh, other people care about this. They probably researched this, and therefore it's probably okay. Now, that could be to your detriment when it comes to like a Luna UST, for example. But generally speaking, that phenomenon is more or less true. Like, the higher the price goes, the more people that have probably vetted it, and the more time that's gone by, the more people have vetted it. It's same thing with like BTC. It was the same thing with Ethereum. And
I mean,
it's like
they're basically social cues. They're like, it's like second, third hand analysis for people that are just not fit to do their own analysis. And
like some people say the market is always right. Yeah. I think there's another way to look at that, that the market is always wrong. Like, you could argue that too, like, you know, like as far as like, you know, pricing things and such.
It could be. No, that's true.
That's why everything's always in like constant price discovery in a sense. Like, the supply demand is always in flux and stuff. And so the market's sort of both always right and always wrong. Like, things can get overvalued, undervalued, or can be completely wrong in terms of like stocks and stuff, and crypto can go to zero. So yeah, it's interesting in that respect. Like, but yeah, that's kind of like the low cap thesis, more or less. But I think I'm always surprised though. at how much more stuff pumps than I think it's going to pump, though. That's the weird thing.
I think it's what you mentioned earlier. There's a delay of people getting over because Web3 is still hard to use. And it's like you buy it for a couple of days and then you wait a couple of days to like validate your buy. Then you go tell your friends. Then your friends have to go through the hassle of setting up a wallet, transferring over tokens. And I think that is what accounts for that, that
like,
massive.
You've noticed, you know how like Cosmos pumped like in October, November?
Yeah.
And Kujira pumped and like Zephyr pumped and a bunch of other stuff. So a bunch of stuff went up in that first impulse wave. And then we had like just like BTC kept climbing and climbing. And then everything else has been consolidating for like the last 4 months or something like that, right? 4 or 5 months. And you can see on the timeline, everyone getting bored. They're like, why is my link not going up?
That's aggravating.
Why is my whatever not going up? And I think people are getting aggravated, and they, and I think what it is it's like watching a kettle boil. Like, because we're sort of crypto dorks and we're all watching our prices and shit all the time, then it's easy to become impatient because you're like, days of your life are going by and you're like, how come my money's not, why was my bag not
you
bigger?
Might see like some like, narratives pump twice, like six to 12 months apart during this cycle because of that.
Yeah, but imagine like you bought your coins, like let's say you bought your Bitcoin now and you never looked at it again for like the next 10 years. Like what are the odds that you're doing pretty good there? Probably pretty good, you know. Like what if you bought your Chainlink now and like 7 years from now and the fucking stock market's on it or some bullshit, and like maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but like, you know, does it benefit you to keep watching the bag? Probably not, but we have a tendency to do it because we're kind of like price watchers, we like that shit. Like, you know, and so it's like for us it feels like, oh, the, you know, maybe the bag's never going to go up, maybe it's like I should rotate to something else. But the realization is, after like what I think is beneficial about the social cues, like looking at Google Trends, watching how many followers are on, you know, Twitter Spaces, how many people show up to these like Twitter Spaces, how many people are engaging in the YouTube videos, like how many likes are on YouTube channel videos, like, you know, like yours or anybody else's. And you go, you start realizing, hey, wait a minute, like the crowd's not even here yet, right? Like they're barely here.
My engagement's super low.
And then
I think that we're.
And then you psych yourself out into thinking, oh, maybe this time is different. Maybe the crowd is not coming. Right. That's easy to psych yourself into, too. Right. Like, but they always seem to return every cycle. Yet every cycle you're like, oh, maybe everyone just fucking gave up and they're not coming back, or maybe they're poor now and they're not coming back or whatever. You come up with all sorts of reasons. But then like it tends not to be true, despite how bleak it looks, because, you know, shit looked pretty fucking bleak in 2020. I got to tell you that, like, you know, my Bitcoin miners were kicked out of China. You had like the COVID crash and it was just the fucking doldrums like you wouldn't believe. Max depression, max pain.
It was also pretty dumb to pay an excessive amount of attention to the crypto market when all these other things were happening that were like emergencies. Like,
true.
Like,
but on the other hand, you know what happened, Joe, is a lot of people weren't paying attention because there's so much other shit going on, myself included. Like I had a shitstorm of work to do. And at the time, like I wasn't sufficiently engaged in the crypto market. Right. So you missed out on stuff you could have bought in DeFi and whatever in 2020 because people just weren't paying attention. Then by 2021, things had calmed down a little bit and everyone was sitting around home on their laptops and shit buying, you know, shit, and everything went nuts. Remember, like it was a strange phenomenon. But I remember like 2020, it was like, oh, fuck, is crypto over? You know, is Bitcoin going to be like wrecked by, you know, because remember the hash power dropped so bad.
Yeah, I remember that.
It was like, holy fuck. Like
I had the opposite. I had the opposite problem. I was working from home, so I had all sorts of time. I took like a coding class. I was like learning about all the like NFTs and all this shit. And I got lucky that I was able. And also at that same time, a bunch of centralized exchanges were kicking off New York customers, so I had to pay attention to my wallets again after like 18 months of not even looking at my balances.
That was the best year of my life because
which one?
Paying attention. 2020. Because I had a bunch of money in everything that I forgot about. I was like, yeah, crypto's over, whatever. I just wasn't thinking about it. And then And then it started happening, and I was like, oh shit. Like I had money in Doge that I'd also forgotten about, mm-hmm. and then had like 2 years of rent. And then I sold that at the top. I was like, I like Tesla. I wasn't paying attention at all to anything. I was like, I like Tesla. I'm going to put it in a Tesla. Like I was like on a high of like, I'm obviously a genius. So, Tesla and right, I was right. fucking right. Yep. Okay.
But Joe, like, I think the thing is like, the other thing that like the FUD of this, like when you think about the social sentiment indicators, one of the things you always get a little bit nervous about is, wait, maybe all the new retards aren't on Twitter's. Like maybe they're on TikTok, or maybe they're on, like you have a YouTube channel, you think.
Oh, so yeah.
It's like maybe they're not showing up on YouTube. Maybe they're watching their content somewhere else, right? So you do get suspicious about that. You're like, wait a minute, like, is it that truly the problem is that we're not seeing as much engagement just because like there are no crypto people, or is it because like they fucking changed the algorithm and that's why, or is it because people aren't showing up on this particular platform? You know, so you start wondering if the social indicators actually work anymore or not.
They're definitely changing all the time. And one of the big ones for me that affected me quite a bit, I mean, my operation's pretty small, right? Like I'm not like killing it on YouTube by any stretch, but when Twitter started down-regulating external links, that absolutely murdered me, because I used to get a lot of traffic from Twitter to my YouTube, and now I have a hard time judging.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like if anybody like sends someone to YouTube, it like downgrades.
Yeah. And I used to get, I would get like, I'd release a video and I would put it on Twitter, and then I would watch the video live with people, and they would all come over from Twitter, maybe like 15, 20 people, something like that. And now it's like 3. Cause I don't even bother to post the links anymore, cause I know it's not going to do anything. It's just completely different.
See, that makes you wonder, like, that makes you think, like, probably, just if you look at Google search trends and just our opinion about how the social sentiment looks, my sense has been that, like, the people buying crypto now are the people that are like, fuck this, I know what happens at halvening time, I'm buying early, and everybody in space has been front-running everybody else and buying early. This is what my theory was, it was going to happen. And part of that's because the chart also was totally wrecked for everything for a good solid year and a half. So the chart looked good. It looked like an entry. And on top of that, the people who are likely to see those charts are going to be like, mostly crypto giga nerds who are going to go in with size relatively early. And I figured like, okay, well, maybe we'll front run this time. And then like, but then it's like, how are the newbies going to show up after this? Are they going to go by word of mouth? Are they just going to see the price go up? Or am I overthinking it? Or are they going to get it on TikTok or what? Like, I don't know. And so the net, like, what does the next froth look like? That's the part I'm not fully sure get.
If you're a content creator, you should always have a Discord to start out, but then start moving your audience even very early on to a website.
Mm.
I mean, that's what Destiny did. You can't trust any social media platform. Like, you could get banned off of anything at any moment.
Now, I'm not doing this for like the followers or cloud or whatever. I don't really care. I like it. I think it's, I like it just because it's fun.
No, I mean, like, if it's your job. Like,
oh, if that's what your job is.
Because otherwise you're depending on social media, every single one of these social media platforms. And if you rely mostly on one, then you're fucked. If you get banned, it's over.
Yeah, for sure. No, she's right. She's right.
It's productive utility to sort of like, when you have enough of a following, you get a little bit more of a sense for like the engagement for different coins. You get a sense of concept of like how many people generally are watching this space. One thing for sure that happened, Joe, is like the number of people that followed jumped, started increasing. My engagement's like, I think I'm shadow banned to some extent anyway. Like, I'm not sure what the fuck I'm doing. I think probably because I think if you talk crypto shit, they sort of quasi shadow
on, well, Twitter. Said that.
I think if you a lot of dollar signs and stuff, what happens is you get shadow banned as well. I think that's definitely part of it. But despite that, I'm seeing like follower counts increasing, and those newer followers who actually are seeing it are, I don't know if they're putting like bells on or some shit, but they actually happen to see what I'm writing, and so I can see who's actually responding and replying and whatever. And even that count is going up. So I know that more people are
You guys need to follow God. What is his fucking name? He only posts about the X algorithm. Fuck. Wait, let me. Because I only know about the X algorithm rules because I just he does all the work and he just posts it every update. Wait, I'll find him and link it at the top.
Yeah. Like, I think the funny thing is what you got to do, Joe. Is you gotta like hashtag whatever fucking thing is trending, like, and talk like, and then talk about something else with that hashtag. Like, it's like the only way to get any attention on this.
See, they also say like the hashtags
for the algorithm.
Yeah, they're saying the hashtags are not doing what they used to. They changed the function of the hashtags and also the weight of them. So it's like, it's really weird. And I'm in like a group where I'm supposed to like follow certain content. Because I, you know, basically I get paid to make they sponsor my YouTube channel, so that I'm in a group. And someone said in the group that if you bookmark the tweets, it's like 10 or 20 times more powerful than the likes or the retweets. So it's like really weird. They keep changing it around. And like, I'm the kind of person who I don't want.
Oh, like if people bookmark your tweets?
Yeah. And like, I'm the kind of person where like, I'm on Twitter a lot, but I'm mostly like jumping on Twitter, replying to somebody that I want to argue with in real life, and then I'm jumping off. Like, I don't want to study Twitter. It kind of sucks if I have to do that.
Yeah, and I'll be damned if I'm gonna write fucking like whatever threads or whatever.
I did two today that I have, and I usually don't do them. I'm just bad at writing threads, and I did two today, and like no one gives a shit, right? I don't want to be an expert on social media. Unfortunately, I just don't have time. I'll take some shortcuts, but I'm not going to be an expert ever.
I think it's just fun. Like, I think it's enjoyable. It's like, I like Twitter spaces and stuff, but I'm not trying to make some kind of a thing out of it. I'm just using it like as a quasi
thermostat. Your engagement, I have always noted your engagement is down bad. You need a engagement boot camp. Maybe both.
Well,
maybe it's time to buckle up. I need to find this person. Who is
it? Like,
does anyone know in here?
Part of it is like what happened was my account got attacked by tons of bots back in 2021. And like I probably have like 50,000 bot followers or some bullshit too. So it's not like the number on my little thing.
You need to ban, you need to block all the.
Like I've got to like delete.
I think there's nothing you can do, man.
There is.
Yeah, and you know what?
You can fix your algorithm. I'm finding it for you guys.
I also don't want to like, I don't even care enough to go delete all the whatevers to make it work.
You'll never be able to do it. It's, I block them all the time on Twitter, but I'm like, why am I doing this? Like, as I'm blocking them, more bots are coming onto the fucking.
No, you can run scripts.
I suspect it probably would go up higher if you paid like higher subscriptions and shit like that. But
no, yeah, wait, hold on. There's a lot of things in the world to be doomer about, but algorithm is not. It's really simple. Once you read, like, I'm still trying to find it. I'm desperately trying to find it.
You're gonna fix my shit for me?
I can. Yeah. It takes like, I mean, Sefi, yours is bad. You need like a couple weeks, I think. But
what is it like? What do you mean? What do I need to do? Like, bad is in you check something now, or you just by
no? Five? There's rules with each X update because Elon's trying to get rid of. He's not like attacking us or trying to make us hate social media. He's trying to get control over the bots. So he's the algorithm changing every couple of months is like usually him implementing something trying to get rid of the bots, but then.
Okay.
All you have to do is like read the rules. Like, there's rules.
Why
like,
did
first
you care
of all,
about engagement though? Like, don't, why would you like spend that time?
Why spend that time? Why be here? It's people's jobs. Like,
well, it's not his job though. He has a job.
Yeah, I'm just kind of fucking around. But like, yeah, I mean, it'd be nice to fix it if it's
it
easy.
Is easy. Like, you know, just right now, don't quote tweet anything. Don't hashtag anything. Make sure that the things you post are high quality or like clickbaity, I guess. If it's really bad, then you should be clickbaity to like fix it. Everyone has an internal score. So like, depending on your
score, do I need to like say controversial shit about like penises or something?
Well, that's what I do, like, because sometimes I break the rule. Like, the thing that I do all the time is I'll delete tweets, and that deleting tweets within a week of posting will destroy your score. So whenever I do that too much, I'll just, like, I don't know, I'll be like, I'll post my boobs if you like this or something fucking stupid to fix it. But it is fixable. Like, you can fix your algorithm. You just have to not break the rules, you know?
I need to write a couple of essays.
Don't quote tweet. That sends you down. If you want to quote tweet, just take a screenshot and post it with what you want to say. Don't do hashtags. Tweeting out things like happy words boosts your account. So don't say, like, I fucking hate retards. Don't tweet that.
Dude, like, everything I do is the opposite of what gets engagement. So funny.
Phil, I always wonder.
Retard a lot. Go ahead, Joe. You're saying?
Oh, we lost him.
Oh, he broke connection. I was going to say, like, I use the word retard a lot, so that's probably going
to
fuck me.
I cuss when I get pissed about stuff. My feed is just a way for me to vent. I don't care if anyone is, like, reading it.
Yeah, it's like a personal diary.
No, I do, too.
I kind of hope they're not reading it.
All the time. I just, like, bump it back up. Because if you do it too much, you'll get shadow banned. Like, if you're retarded on the timeline too much, no one's going to see anything.
There's some level of shadow banning for me, for sure.
I delete at least like two tweets a day, like at least.
Yeah, you can't do that. You need to tell your.
Why are quote tweets bad? Like, what's the problem with that?
It's something, again, like all these changes that are implemented, it will be random to us, but it's attempts to stop the bot shit. Problem that
it's like they don't want us to use the platform like how you're supposed to use it. It's weird.
He was talking about getting rid of the, like, the retweet and like buttons or something, or the, no, not showing how many retweets and how many likes you have.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Which is not, it makes the platform dramatically less useful, because like some of that, I'm watching that to like determine how much consensus there is on something, or like how much attention there actually is, or whatever. So it, as a social sentiment indicator, the which is part of why I use this, it goes down substantially.
Yeah, Elon gets like very one-track minded about fixing the bot issue and not thinking about other things. Like when he was thinking about getting rid of the block feature, which is dangerous and terrible. All of these decisions are him trying to get control over the bots, which is an issue, but...
Well, there's definitely a lot of bots that I block, for sure. But anyway, I'm not sure if that, like, downgrades me or some shit.
No, I think it helps you out. If the less bot interactions you have, the better. Also, it boosts your account to have, like, if you engage with people that have good standing. Also, you shouldn't be following people that are shadow banned. That's a big no-no, too.
So bad.
Damn it.
It's like one step from social scores.
I like it. I want the Chinese social. I feel like I'd have a, well, I
there's
like
pretty
it
normal
if
people that are shadow banned though. So like the fact that like some people are avoiding like other people that are pretty normal people because of something like that, because of engagement, is like a little sad.
Yeah, there's a problem with it. I meant more like I was just memeing.
What do you think? I'm not like judging.
Like China number one.
Do you like jaywalk or anything?
I feel like it's a good idea to start saying things like China number one in case China dominates. Like if they, then they'll see all my tweets. Maybe they'll look through and they'll be like, oh, this American woman, we won't kill her.
Unless you have a little Chinese blood in you. I don't know.
I've been befriending the Chinese Twitter spaces, I think. I don't know if they like me. I don't know what they're saying, but I have been saying ni hao a lot.
Not to like name drop or anything. I've got a buddy that I don't talk to often, but he's friends with Dan Bilzerian. And that kind of gave me a signal to get into AMC at $2. But
he was jokingly, he told me, he's like, he's from Chinese bloodline. He was like, you could come with me when the world ends. That was kind of along the lines of 2 or 3 years back. So that was funny. And Steffi, I wanted to ask you, what'd your son think of the Matrix I showed you?
You know, I forgot to ask him that. I got to tell him to look at it. Sorry.
No, he's good.
He was running
around. It was in the back of my mind. I joined in earlier and I got kicked because somebody, I guess, had me blocked that was co-host.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It should be pretty funny. Like, yeah, he'll like it for sure. Since he had he already had to deal with
yeah, crazy. Yeah, I remember. Don't we all, though?
Well, I don't know. Phil, what do you think? Like C69300 on BTC, I think we'll... My theory was we'll break tomorrow before Monday, and that way it like wrecks all the shorts, and then it like makes everyone buy high on the stock market.
Yeah, that'd be fun if it could be good week. Could also mean Monday we get some scam wicks. That one day was pretty funny where it wicked both directions and like 15% in like a matter of hours.
The longs are like at 64, 65. So yeah, it could go both ways. Should be really entertaining. Just chaos basically for a little while, which is fine.
Yeah, it's fun right now.
In fact, it'd be better if it dropped once
that's
more.
What I've been waiting for way too long.
It would make everyone bored, but like it would be a good thing.
Yeah, I feel like it won't happen just because I'm like waiting for that too, and I've been waiting a long time.
You've been waiting for a big jump.
It's like and it never is when you're prepared. I'm like, all right, I'm ready this time. Like, it's not coming.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Along the lines of that, what you were talking about in China, Zentani, have you seen the episode Nosedive of Black Mirror?
Yeah, I'm a sellsword. I don't give a fuck. I'm on the side of who's winning. I don't care what they do. I'm not going to contest it. I'm on their side. I bookmarked it. I found them.
You bend like a reed.
Are you a big MAGA chick?
No, I'm also not political.
Well, that's okay. I'm a dirty. I was going to say you got to get with the winning side.
Oh,
we're both losing.
They both suck ass. but I posted it to the top. This guy, and I'm not, I never shill anything or profit off of any. This guy genuinely, like, if you're using X and you're confused about the algorithm, everyone should follow him for real.
I'll fix my engagement.
Yeah, just scroll on his thing or find where he updates every time there's a new update that you need to know.
The only way to fix my engagement is to get the blue check so I can edit stuff, because I'm not willing to leave like a typo up. Like, I'd rather delete the tweet than leave a typo because they just bother me.
Tank messaged and said, like, anal number one will always trend. You should type that one.
I did say that, and that's true. It will always trend. Anal will always trend. But I also had another question. So as a time, because I'm just listening here and I'm, just whatever, chilling. I heard you say that you always pick the winning side. So who right now is the winning side? Who's winning?
America right now.
America.
I'm talking about, when I'm saying winner, I mean, like, if China invades and fucks us up, no, I'm not going to say, yeah, America.
You're
going to
be like, I'm with you. It's cool.
Yeah, I'm going to start saying ni hao.
What would your Chinese name be? Or I think Zentani kind of is sounding like Chinese.
This is the only way I've been able to play team games, is they don't know I'm a girl. They think I'm Chinese.
Do your eyes look sufficiently Chinese enough? Like, you could maybe like dye your hair black and then do a thing?
Yeah, I figured, because people had always asked, like, I realized very early on, people think Zentani is Chinese, so they assumed it already. So whenever I'm playing like a team game, if we're in a ranked game, I just say no English, sorry, and stay muted, and they let me play as a dude, and then they don't, you know, then they play with me instead of making it weird.
Yeah, that was a trick that, like, in games when you'd grief people, like, no English, sorry, you know, like, it's kind of a standard thing, reply.
It's cool that there are girls that can, like, play as well as guys now. That sounds really sexist, but I swear to God, in, like, the early 2000s, like, they just weren't playing the games.
Oh, my God, dude. Like, 99% of players were men.
Yeah.
It was. Or boys. And the every profile, like, every, not profile pick, but every character in the game that was a girl was also a guy. And occasionally, people would, they would, like, guys would pick girl characters because they figured other guys would group with them because they have this expectation that maybe it could be a girl. And that was a common phenomenon, like, 1998, 99, that was all standard. And that kind of came up with the, that's like where the term like mangina came from or something. Like, what's a man? Half the people on the internet were men, or most of the people on the internet were manginas that were pretending to be girls.
Like old Greg.
Yeah, or somebody. I don't know. Like,
there's still a lot of that on Twitter. Like, I don't trust any girl on Twitter. They're quite likely boys unless you hear their voice. And even now, you don't know these days.
Yeah, I mean, like, now, like, yeah, everybody plays video games now. Back then it was mostly just like in the late 80s, early 90s, it was like, I mean, like practically everyone was some nerdy boy. It wasn't even like a mainstream boy. It was nerd boy that was playing video games because you had to like know how to fucking, you know, install a graphics card and get that fucking shit to work. And then like the drivers didn't work and they work, but not with this game. So you had to like fuck with that. And then it's like, it was a gigantic thing. And like, one disc didn't work. So you have to download that fucking thing again. And like, whatever, you know what I mean? Like it was actually hard to play video games back then. The barrier to entry was totally nerddom.
Yeah.
And almost everybody that was a video gamer back then was successful in life afterwards. Like, it was a almost like litmus test for you being a genius of some kind later or something, because only nerds were playing at the time.
I played and I'm still looking for it. I'm on X on Twitter now, so you know, not all of us won it.
Yeah. Not everyone won the game of life. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. It happened. We're just showing.
No,
I had something else to say too when you were just talking. Oh, wow. I think it was about like the chicks on the on like Twitter, whatever you don't talk. Yeah, especially now with all these AIs and all this other shit, like on gaming, or like COD, like the COD community, there's a lot of dudes on there that pretend they're girls, and then you like they have a lot of simps around them, and they're kind of, you know, all cheating each other off. I don't know.
Dudes playing girls with simp armies.
Yeah, do they have like voice changers so they can actually like talk and be convincing?
Yeah. All right. So since we're on video games, I started throwing these off, but I'm a big video gamer. What's the best? What are you guys gaming on right now? What's the best gaming / crypto utility, I guess, out there? Keep it going. I know.
I'm playing.
Yeah,
I'm just hanging on. Avatar was okay. It's like, it's just Assassin's Creed. Like they took, which is my favorite franchise, but like you look at what are the other, like Horizon Zero Dawn is just an Assassin's Creed remake. So is Avatar, but they're good.
Horizon was good. Both the Horizons are really good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm a Assassin's Creed fan, so I'm a little in whatever, but I don't know if any of you have heard of Oxygen Not Included. I'm addicted. I'm playing it right now. That's the real nerd game. Like, only fucking nerds play this shit.
Is that like Myst or like
nerd
return to Zork?
Yeah.
I'm turning petroleum into ethanol by heating it up.
Return to Zork, dude.
Phil, you know, so oh my god, you know what I'm talking about.
I was even too nerdy for that. I wasn't nerdy enough for that.
I never did beat it. That shit was really hard.
Oh my god, yeah. Like, man, you still go back in the history of gaming. Jesus, so many stories. Like, you can write, like, there's probably a lot of movies that haven't been made about, like, a lot of interesting gamer interactions. You could truly make like some great, great movies out of this stuff that haven't happened. that's actually a really undercovered thing. If you think about how many people were playing games in like 90s and, you know, 2000s and stuff. And it's like not a lot of movies and stuff came about regarding that culture.
Yeah, right. Like esports and stuff.
Yeah. And there's not a lot of mainstream movies that came out regarding crypto culture either, for that matter. Which is,
we're just going to get a bunch of crime documentaries.
Yeah. There's, I'm buddies with a Hollywood producer. Have you guys seen, In the Shadows? What is it called? The vampire, reality show?
I think you said it right. In the Shadows, I think it's with Johnny Depp. The same idea?
Oh, no, not.
Reality show?
You guys haven't seen that? Okay, wait. Have you seen Devs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The producer of that is making a crypto documentary.
Okay. What aspect of crypto? If it's about Cardano, I'm going to freak the fuck out.
He's just fishing right now to see if there's anything interesting. But you might get.
Do you guys remember my music on it?
Hello.
Oh no, cool.
Yeah.
All right.
No, but Phil, do you remember when Do Kwon and like the Terra people, they were funding a DAO to make a movie about sort of like the rise of Terra.
And yeah, we were going to be famous, and it all burned to the ground.
We were literally contacting what's the guy's name that did the fucking documentary on Steve Jobs. What's that guy's name? Like, he does like biopics and shit, whatever. I forget his name now. You'll know it if you hear it. But like, I remember speaking to them about it, and I'm like, they're like, would you like to be the like interviewer type person for this? And I'm like, well, like, I don't know, I don't really dox myself and whatever, and like, but I could, you know, I wouldn't mind like doing like audio conversations like this and do some interviews of people and stuff and maybe fish out some stories and whatever to, you know, put this movie together. But like, I wasn't willing to dox myself. And so, which I'm glad I didn't, get involved with them, because man, holy fuck. Like, holy fuck. Do you remember, like, Phil, I told you the story about when TFL asked me to be their like Michael Saylor type spokesman. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Yeah. Good move. Not doing that.
That was some funny shit. Remember when Doe like tweeted back and he's like something about some joke about being a secretary or something.
Yeah, I remember that. I was like, oh dude, there's like a fight between Seffy and Doe.
Oh no. What it was I remember now. So Adam Back, myself and him were in some convo, and like the convo had something to do with like I was like, oh, we should like have a convo with Adam and Doe, and I'd be happy to have like a Twitter space and kind of host it or whatever. We'll do a little thing and you guys can suss out like what Adam Back's concerns were about, you know, Terra Luna, and you know, you could go fight about it and whatever. And I thought I was like doing everyone a favor to have to do this, you know, because like Adam was interested. He had some questions and stuff, and Adam's been in Bitcoin for a long time. So obviously he had, you know, some interactions back then with Satoshi and whatever. And so he's kind of a legend, and it seemed like a good idea to get him together. And so I kind of like, you know, I posted like, hey, maybe, you know, we can do a Twitter spaces with Adam and you. And the Doe replies back, what are you, my secretary or something? Like, and he didn't mean to be rude, but like he's in an autistic way. Doe is kind of like, he's a bit autistic in the sense that he doesn't read the room exactly.
Especially in tech. And like in tweets, he's really
good. And everyone got pissed because like Doe was being rude to me for no obvious reason.
Yeah.
And especially on text and stuff. And after that it was, but the context of before that was the TFL actually, I forget the name of the guy, but anyway, the business development guy for Terra, he was an ex like Goldman Sachs guy. He called me and he's like, hey, do you want to be like a spokesperson? Doe's getting too busy and we need like someone to talk about Terra, and someone recommended you, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what happened at the time was like, I had a, like an hour conversation, almost like an interview. I wasn't really likely to do this because obviously I have a career and stuff and I don't need to be doing that. But I thought it was interesting. I was like, I wonder what they're offering and what they're asking for. It was just too curious not to have an interview with him. So I talked to him and he's like, yeah, you'd have to probably like move to like Singapore and stuff and this and that. I'm like, okay, that's not going to happen. And like, you can't be doxxed. It'd be like you'd be on videos and you'd be talking to people and stuff. I'm like, well, that's not going to happen either. So I pretty much said no right away. I didn't even ask him how much they were going to pay or anything else. And I pretty much knew they couldn't pay me enough anyway. I make a lot. So it'd be like, it'd be shocking if they were going to pay me as much as you'd have to pay me. But like, anyway, the point is like, I was like, okay, fine, fuck it. I didn't do it. But afterwards I recall, and now I'm like, wait, like, how much of a fucking mess would I have been in if I was like the video spokesperson for fucking the Terra people? That would be hilarious,
don't they,
right?
Do like, those like?
I'd be like, they'd be hunting my ass down to put.
Yeah, dude, you'd be in trouble right now. You'd be out of the country.
It'd be like SEC troubles, yeah, and shit.
In whenever I've seen like documentaries with hackers or whatever, I guess they're not the real hackers. There's a bunch of fake hackers out there. A bunch of fucking script kiddies that say they're hackers, but don't they do that? Like they like blur their face out and do the voice changer thing. Would you do that?
Maybe, but like, I think they wanted to have someone that was more of a personality, yeah, sort of how, you know, how Michael Saylor is a personality for Bitcoin,
like,
or whatever.
They Chris need Anson? They wanted you to be the Chris Anson.
I mean, we were going for like the mainstream thing, so to have a blurred out face and a voice changer would be like a little weird.
Yeah, would not work. Yeah, yeah. No, it was like they were looking for someone who had reasonable communication skills, who could like talk about the different protocols and whatever, ask decent questions, whatever, the whole thing. So I was like, you know, when Twitter Spaces came out, I was like sort of playing interviewer anyway. I was having a lot of protocol people come on and they'd ask me to kind of like, hey, can you do a Twitter Spaces about such and such at, you know, tomorrow about our protocol? And I'd be like, yeah, sure. And so it'd be like a back and forth banter interview for an hour, stuff like that. And so like having done a lot of those and met a lot of Cosmos people doing that, that's how this sort of emerged, I guess. And I don't know, but it was like, if I wanted a big YouTube following or some shit like a Ben Cowan or whatever, I could have done that a long time ago. If I wanted to do that on Twitter, I could have done it a long time ago. It's just like not, it's like a whole production. It's like, and as soon as you get your face on these things, it's like an entirely different, your privacy once lost is not really like, it's not usually like, unless you're going to really make money off it, like you're saying earlier, Zin, like you're going to be like some kind of a social media personality, like, you know, I couldn't really be bothered to do it. And so that's why I didn't want to like give up that. I'm glad I didn't though, because my wife was like, huh, maybe we can quit our jobs. We'll move to fucking Singapore. I'm not moving to fucking Singapore. Singapore is the most boring fucking place on earth. If you've ever been there, like there's no fucking way. It's literally like a bunch of residential towers on an island. It's like a prison. It's like, there's no way I was going to go there. I was like, get the fuck out of here. South Korea is probably not that much different, although at least it's a little prettier. But not to mention, I don't know the languages either way. That would be a lot of fun. But yeah, you can't like, you wouldn't be able to do it as like an American citizen or whatever. Like, oh yeah, I'm going to go move to Singapore. Get the fuck out of here. You know, it was a strange conversation, but interesting little piece of history there. Like to have this combo with them.
Super what weird. Is Terra?
Terra's the, is the, so Terraform Labs is who created Luna UST, and Do Kwon was the founder of that. So, and you may not know any of this story if you weren't in that.
No, I don't. Well, yeah. I think I've heard of the name, but I have no idea what it is.
It's basically like a stablecoin based system that crashed due to like financial engineering. And it basically crashed and, you know, billions of dollars went down the drain. And ultimately, like the SEC and the Koreans and everybody are after Do. He escaped sort of like he went and ended up like using a fake passport. He escaped and he got caught in Montenegro with a false passport, went to jail, where he still is to this moment. And like he was getting extradited to either the US or South Korea. And the claim was that he had got investors in the United States without actually filing for a it wasn't because the system crashed that he got in trouble. He got in trouble because he got investors in the United States, like venture capital funds and stuff. And which is why. But yeah, anyway, it was like a it was a whole thing.
I just can't wait for my turn to start a company that has billions, millions of dollars that just vanishes.
You need to lose like $10 billion somehow.
Yeah, but I don't know. It must have been a hack. No one knows what happened.
I've got to drop off, guys. I've got some actual work to do at the moment. Called for a problem. And I think it'll wind up disconnecting me anyway. So we'll catch up later, guys.
Bye.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ants dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days, got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss. And I'm liking the odds, fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary fall. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner lay stacked in non-toxic just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like this shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Eats, tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few seats, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the verbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Terror Spaces.